Let us be called to worship with these very familiar words from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Lord, it is so easy for us to follow you. Sometimes, when you lead us in the green pastures and beside the still waters. But Lord, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, our faith so often falters. But it is at these times that we need you the most. So give us the faith to turn to you today. Let us find peace in the promise of the gospel and in your unerring word. Lord, we do not pray to comprehend your will. We simply pray that you would be our refuge and our strength, our present help in this time of trouble. So send your Holy Spirit to comfort us and open your word to console us. For we offer this prayer in the name of your living word, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Teresa has written some reminiscences of Lee, and she asked me to read them. So what you're going to hear now are Teresa's words, beautiful words, but please imagine her saying them. Lee would always say, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." And he was very strong, stubborn, never let anything get the best of him. If he did something, it was going to be done right, or he would start over. He loved what he did at work and the people he worked with. He was called the brain. He was well respected and well thought of at work. If there was a problem, they called Lee. He was the best at troubleshooting. He saved the plants millions several times. He was the best at everything he did. He could even troubleshoot things that were wrong with Dawn's car no matter where she was. Even in New Mexico. He could listen to the sound of the car over the cell phone and get it running. He was amazing to watch whatever he had to deal with. But don't interrupt when he was working on something, because he could only do one thing at a time. He was so focused and determined to figure out whatever it was. God gave him so many talents and a huge heart. He was kind, gentle, patient, loved his family and his friends so much. And once you were his friend, he was there for you always. His favorite hobbies were golf, hunting, fishing, and the outdoors. Oh, how he loved golf. You would think he was a pro as much time as he spent practicing and getting lessons. Seemed like he changed his swing every week. I don't know how he would remember these new swings. He would say, "I'm trying this new swing out, and I believe this is the one. I just have to get it down." We got to play in a lot of tournaments. It was so much fun. Of course, he would say, "Keep your head down. You're looking up." He always knew what I was doing wrong. Poor Lee, I wasn't much help when he messed up. We went on so many golf trips, couples tournaments. He went on so many golf trips with the boys. He enjoyed every minute. I'm going to miss playing golf with him. Lauren and Lee got to play in the member guest tournament together and had a good time. Lee so enjoyed playing with Lauren. They only placed third, but you would have thought they won the championship because he was so happy and proud to play with his son. He was looking forward to playing next year with him. Sorry, Mike, you have been replaced. He had a good time. Any time he could spend with his kids was a win. He took both kids fishing and hunting, and even myself, Teresa. I just couldn't get into the hunting, but would go just to be with him. It was great. There were a lot of great memories. He finally bought a nice bass boat, and he was so proud. We would meet Lauren and Brittany, and they would always try to see who could catch the most. All were so competitive. I just came for the ride to enjoy them. In the last several years, he got to enjoy retirement, travel, and spend more time with his family. He was a hard worker, a great provider, very logical, had great integrity, but that's what made him Lee. He got to watch Lauren marry and expect his first child. That would be Lee's second grandchild. And he was able to walk his daughter down the aisle and dance the father-daughter dance with her. He was really enjoying his first grandson, Aiden. He was so proud of Lauren and Dawn and Brittany and Clay. God knew what he was doing when he brought Lee into my life. I will have a hole in my life that will never be filled again. He was the love of my life. Life is way too short, and God is the healer of all broken hearts. And all I can say, Teresa, is amen. What a lovely tribute to a great guy. Family requested that we sing a hymn, a favorite hymn, so let's take up our hymnals now, and we'll turn to selection 149, selection 149, Rock of Ages, and let us stand as able to sing.
Oh,
You may be seated. Scripture readings today, one from the Old Testament, is one that Teresa especially requested. And at first I thought, I don't ever remember reading the Proverbs at a funeral. But when I read through this chapter, there was so much in it that reminded me of Lee. I think you will find the same thing. Proverbs chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Wise, diligent, truthful, hardworking. Sounds like somebody I know. Our New Testament reading comes from John's Gospel, the 11th chapter. This has to do with Jesus' friend Lazarus, who passed away too young, and how Jesus revealed his glory to Lazarus' family. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 17 and reading through verse 44. This is God's word. Then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary still sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. That is God's word for God's people. Now, I'm very new to the game of golf. You really can't say that I play golf. I just go out and make holes in the ground. One day, I happened to be out at the country club persecuting the course, and Lee showed up to hit some balls. So I mustered up my courage, and I asked, could I tag along? Could I get a few pointers? So we went to hole number 9, and while he was blasting balls into the distance so far that I couldn't even see them, concerned about a slight hook in his drive, he kept making suggestions to me, encouraging me to get the ball up in the air just a little bit. He was so patient and so knowledgeable, and I was so eager to have another lesson. But I won't get one now. And don't we all have so much unfinished business with Lee? Those of the family who go for the lunch, you're going to see some lumber piled up in the annex there. That was a part of a project he and Shreve were going to work on up in the cupola of the annex, I think. I don't know. And he and Teresa had so many projects they were working on at the house, and he was just getting ready to rotate back onto the board of deacons. He blessed us all with that Proverbs 12 wisdom, that knowledge, that combination of technical expertise and good common sense that all of you folks who work with him in the plant know so well. Unfinished business. So when someone we all love has been taken away from us so abruptly, so senselessly, I think we can understand how Martha and Mary felt when Jesus showed up. They knew Jesus had power to heal the sick. So why hadn't he healed Lazarus? Can we ask that question? I have. And I'm not going to pretend that we're going to know why God chooses to heal some and not others. But there are a few things we can learn about our God from this story in John's Gospel. And what we learn about our God can comfort us even when things don't make sense. And the first thing we can learn is that times like these can increase our faith. Whenever we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can increase our faith, our trust in Jesus, because it's those times that we know how helpless we are. Now, again, at first glance, that doesn't seem to make sense. Mary said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But in those words in which she acknowledges the power of Christ, we also hear a note of finality, of resignation, perhaps even of despair. And don't we often fall into this sort of thinking? When we're faced, as we all are today, with a great sorrow, sometimes we're tempted to think, "God, you weren't able to stop this." Or maybe we think, "God, all you can do is grieve along with us." And maybe that's what Martha also thought at first. Her words to Jesus were the same as Mary's, "Lord, if you had been here, if only you'd been here." But Martha was willing to go further in her faith. She went on to state that even after Lazarus had already died, God would answer Jesus' prayers. She somehow believed that by the power of God, Jesus could do something. Maybe she didn't know what. But why did she believe that? Because she knew something about Jesus. She knew he was more than just a prophet. She knew he was more than just a teacher. She confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that is what we know, we modern day Christians. We know that Jesus, by his own death, has broken the power of sin and death once and for all. We know that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the resurrection. He is the life. We know that is true because Jesus walked out of his own tomb on the third day after his own death. We know that he has gained the victory over death forever. We know this. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that all his people will rise from their own graves one day. We know this. In this very passage, Jesus says, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Jesus said, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." No, it doesn't make sense to us today. But in the face of death, we can remember the resurrection of Christ. We can remember the promise of our own resurrection, and this can fuel our faith in him. Even at times like this, we have reason for hope. But there's another reason we find to trust Jesus in this passage. It isn't just what he said. Look at the fact that Jesus wept at the tomb of his friend. Why did Jesus cry? We know why we cry today. Why did Jesus cry? Sure, he knew he was going to see Lazarus at the general resurrection of the dead, but he also knew he was going to see Lazarus in a matter of minutes. Why did he cry? Well, in the first place, he was setting an example for us. He was telling us it's okay. Yes, all who trust in Christ will one day rise from the dead. Yes, we will see Lee again someday. Yes, this is a farewell, not a goodbye. This is a see you later. But it still hurts. It hurts a lot. Now, I know we should not grieve without hope, but grief is not wrong. Grief is not something to be suppressed. Grief is not something to be denied. As long as sin remains in this world, we'll keep having funerals. And Jesus shows us that it is a good thing, it is a holy thing, to be sorrowful, to weep over sin and over its consequences. So when we cry for our departed loved ones, we can take comfort that Jesus did too, and it's okay. It's okay. But there's another reason that Jesus wept. Another reason that that amazing act gives us hope. For yes, we know that one day all of our tears will turn to laughter. All of our goodbyes will turn into hellos. We will see Lee again. We will see our loved ones again. We know that one day all our mourning will be turned into dancing. All our wounds will be healed. We know, as Jesus promised, that all who believe in Him will live forever with Him when He comes again. But we also know how that's all possible, because of the work of Christ on the cross. And what would that cross cost our Savior? Well, make no mistake, Jesus knew that just like Lazarus, his death would be, in a sense, temporary. He knew he would walk out of his tomb on the third day, just as Lazarus walked out of his. And yet, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wept, knowing what the cross would cost. He would cry out to God for the cup of suffering and death to be taken away from him. Jesus wept in the garden, and Jesus wept here at the tomb of Lazarus. And there is a connection. For on both occasions, Jesus wept over the terrible consequences sin had brought into this world. And on both occasions, Jesus wept knowing what it would cost him to call Lazarus out of the tomb, to call us out of the death of sin. But knowing the price he would have to pay, Jesus wept, but he cried out in the garden through his tears, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." And so, knowing that he would have to be carried into a tomb so that Lazarus could be carried out of one, Jesus wept. But he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Brothers and sisters, Jesus wept to set us an example for our own grief. Jesus wept to show us just how devastating are the consequences of sin. And Jesus wept so that one day our tears would be dried. And why did he do all of this? Why did Jesus weep? Why did Jesus give himself up for us? The people standing around that day noticed. They saw Jesus crying and they said, "Look how much he loved him." Jesus loved Lazarus enough to weep for him. Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus loved Lee. Jesus loved all his people enough to die for us. Now, we don't understand what's going on today. We don't understand God's will, and that's all right. But today we know what it means to weep because we suffer. We know what it means to weep because we are separated from our loved ones. But brothers and sisters, hold on to this hope that Jesus chose to go through what you're going through right now. He chose to go through that sorrow. He chose to go through that suffering because He loves you. Because He loves you. So even though we don't understand what's going on, can't we trust Him? Can't we trust the one who loves us so much? Let us pray. Lord, we don't understand what's going on today. We don't understand why we have to weep. We don't understand why there's so much unfinished business. But Lord, we know that You love us. And we know that You are with us. And we know that there's nothing that can happen in our life, not even death itself, that can separate us from Your love. And we know, O Lord, that one day we will see Jesus. And we will see all of our loved ones. And on that day it'll all make sense. But Lord, until that day, let us gaze upon the wonder of a God who weeps. Let us gaze upon the wonder of a God who dies for us. And in our tears, Lord, let us trust You. And Father, we offer this prayer in the name of the one who loved us enough to cry for us and who loved us enough to die for us, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise for the benediction of the Lord. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.